Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. This week's video is titled Colossal Colossians. Thank you to Rhonda, Don, and Ed for their participation. The scripture reading is Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Good morning and welcome. This is our first Sunday to be open again since the end of December, so welcome to those of you who are here in the flesh, and welcome to those of you who are here online also, and we're so glad to have you, those of you who are here online, those of us who are in the building are spread out and wearing masks. We're welcome to be here at 30% capacity, which equals 70 people, so welcome everyone, and we have some announcements, I think. Marion is having a birthday this week, and Kate is also having a birthday this week, and they welcome to, or happy birthday to all of you, to both of you, and may you have a good day and a good week and a good year serving God. And our annual meeting will be held on April the 11th at 11:45, and you can talk to Adam if you want more information, and we'll take it from there. And let us pray. Thank you, God, for your mercy, for giving us so much that we don't deserve. Thank you, God, for your eternal love, for your eternal grace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, for everlasting peace, for joy, for saving faith, for comfort, for strength, for wisdom, for your wisdom, for your hope, for our hope, honor, glory, righteousness. Thank you for our security, for eternal life, for our forgiveness, and for our oneness with you. And thank you, God, for your word that is presented in the Bible, and thank you for everything else you give us. And for all this and for much more, we pour forth our praise of thanksgiving to you in worship today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Real, live people. This is great. Thank you so much for being here today. I know we've all missed seeing one another and communicating with one another. I want to give everybody a hug, and I know that's not appropriate, so it'll be a virtual hug. How's that? But we're delighted to have you with us today, and I hope that you are doing well and that your loved ones are doing well and that we just keep praying to lift each other up. Okay, so I want to share to the best of my ability today some good news. In these difficult days, we need good news. And if you ever needed a positive, helpful, intellectual, spiritual, and scriptural pick-me-up, it surely is this brief book that we seldom spend time in. It's the book of Colossians. It is a supreme effort of positivity. It is wonderful. Let me just give you a couple of words in this book as the book begins. Listen to just some of these individual words and ask ourselves, isn't this what we want to have in our life and share with others in our life. Love, faith, hope, rescue, thankfulness, forgiveness, and there are other words as well. So in the book of Colossians, in chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, Paul, who loves the churches, he helped to begin many of these churches, he's pouring his heart out to loved ones. Sometimes when we read scripture, it's so theological that we forget the emotion. Paul uses his emotions when he writes his letters. We don't have to ask, what's he thinking and how's he feeling? Because he's just open. And it's beautiful. Let me just read to you. I'm reading from the TNIV. Here's what he says. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all his people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up in you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true word of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Truly understood God's grace. I'm going to skip all the way down to verse 9. And in verse 9, he says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. And then these last two verses. For he has rescued us. So even though that was written so many years ago to a group of people, I think we could put our names in there too, don't you? That when we read the scripture, it's also for us. These are beautiful, beautiful words. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So if you've come here this morning wanting to hear some good news, you've just heard it. That we're part of this kingdom. We're part of this long family of God, this lineage of God. And it's interesting how Paul never forgets that. And it's not just in Acts and Colossians and so forth, the many books that are written, but in the book of Acts too, it shows how Paul is so universal in his thinking, from ages past to his present, and then a forward look to the future. And that's where we are. That when Paul writes these words, he's also thinking ahead to where we are today. And I often do that too. How about you? Thinking ahead of the church, where you grew up in your church, and the cultural changes that have taken place in the church over all these years. And no matter what changes, whether we like them or not, is the fact that we're growing closer to God the more we know him and we reach out to one another. It's a universal appeal from Paul 2,000 years ago that is as relevant today as ever. the dominion of the church of God has always been in the mind of God, is today, and is as welcoming today as ever. I would not want to go back 2,000 years and live back there. We are so far advanced in many ways, but the expression of Paul is, this is universal. So in Acts chapter 17, I'm just going to read this a little bit. Many of you know this story. There are a group of philosophers, Stoics, and they were just talking about different philosophies of the day. Paul comes along and hears all of this, and here's what he says in Acts chapter 17, just a couple of verses, starting in verse 24. And this is so relevant for us today. The God who made the world and everything in it, that's us, is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they, let's reread that. God did this so that we would seek him and reach out for him and find him. Have you found God? God has found you. He knew us before the creation of the world. He knew the exact time and places in which we would live. He breathed life into us, as he did to Adam and Eve. He is a constant in our lives, and he always will be. Because in verse 28, for in him we live. Remove God, we don't live. Nothing lives. Nothing exists. So Paul says, for in him we live and move. And we have our very being, our own personality, our own body, but we have it because of him. So if you've ever thought that God doesn't really think about you, reread this. God knows all about us individually. Knows our minds, knows our emotion, and he's always pouring out his love into our lives because he says, for in him we live and move, and we have our very being. As some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring. Now, when Paul states that, it's a continual thought all throughout his letters. And now in the book of Colossians, he uses this phrase, all things, all throughout. And it's a beautiful understanding of Scripture. And it's a little bit intellectual for me to grasp everything that he's trying to say. But if you want to follow in your Bibles, if you have one, brought one, or just watch on the screen, in Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 23, here are these words that to me are just remarkable. Just notice how often he uses the words all things. It says the Son, meaning Jesus, the Son is the visible of the invisible. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over everything. For in him, everything was created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything we might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Christ, and through him to reconcile, restore, regenerate, renew, reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It was at that moment when Christ said, "It is finished," that his blood was shed, that nothing else needs to be done. The sacrifice of sins for all is available for those who accept it. All people of all things, his blood saves us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He is the atoning sacrifice of our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the, what? Whole world. This is Paul reaching, letting all of us know that we're part of it. So in verse 21, he says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation." Wow, that's amazing. "If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel." This is the gospel you heard and that's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And so Paul uses these words, not just in Colossians, but all throughout his writings. The redemption of all things, the reconciliation of all things, the restoration of all things, the renewal of all things. Paul is putting this universal understanding of God's love for us that is relevant today. So not only is this letter a positive letter, Paul deliberately uses another word. Paul has a way of when he uses a strong word, he just keeps repeating it, repeating it, and repeating it. So here's what he's saying. The supremacy of God's love for all things. It is a positive letter. He uses the word raised. Raised for our benefit. Christ was raised for our benefit. He gives us a resurrection life, raised thinking, a raised lifestyle. And then Paul sort of connects that with our immersion, our baptism. Having been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Since, therefore, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right of God. Set your minds on heavenly things and not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, who is in God. And when Christ, listen to this, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, you too will appear with him in glory. The one who created all things, you too, all of us, you too will appear with him in glory. It's not some kind of mystical, not some kind of ghostly thing, but a reality of this amazing welcome of God through Jesus Christ. I try to have notes so that I can understand where I'm going. I was sitting behind my desk early this morning, and I read the scripture, Colossians chapter 3, been raised with Christ and so forth. And at the end of it, I couldn't help it. I just put in big capital letters and all kinds of exclamation points. Wow. 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 This is for us. This is who we belong to. This is who we are. Because of Christ, this huge family of God, where God welcomes all of us. So Paul is just a master in welcoming us with his words, not only with his life. So I don't know about you, I have different preaching heroes in my life. Some who've taught me, you know, wonderful things. And one of my favorite authors, preachers, is Dale. Dale is a most humble man and a most brilliant man. And several years ago, he wrote just a couple of words that just stuck with me. He put a compilation of scriptures dealing with what I've just been sharing today. And I'll just repeat his words to you. Here's what Dale says. You know that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, John 3:17. And that Jesus didn't come to judge the world, but to save it, John 12:47, 48. And that the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world, John 1:29. And Dale says, I have learned from Scripture that Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2. And that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. 2 Corinthians 5. And I have learned, Dale says, from Scripture, that we are to call no person impure or unclean, Acts 10:28. And that when Jesus is truly lifted up from the earth, he will draw people to himself, John 12:32. I have learned from Scripture that one day, oh boy, I have learned from Scripture that one day, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:9. That one day, God intends to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under Christ, Ephesians 1:10. And that one day, a great multitude that no one can count from every nation, tribe, people, and language will cry out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God. And that one day, the glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into God's new kingdom. The kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it, and the leaves of the tree of life will bring healing to the nations. I've learned that the living God is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. So the question is, can we keep being people of faith, knowing all of these precious promises that are ours? They are given to us because of Jesus Christ. So Romans chapter 8 and Colossians chapter 1, they were sort of made for one another. Let me just read to you a couple of passages from Romans chapter 8, 18 through 25. Here's what Paul says, and then I'll be finished. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Okay, stop. So right now, it's difficult. A lot of people are really, really struggling. There's a lot of difficulties emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. It's struggling. It's just a lot of struggles, a lot of hurts, just overwhelming difficulties. So Paul says, it's not so new. It's been that way. Many people have gone through some really unbelievable things. So Paul's words are true. He says, I consider that our present sufferings, they're not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in each one of us. Now that's a promise. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. What will that look like? For the creation itself was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. I'm not sure I understand all of that, but I think what he's saying is one day all things will be well. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly because we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Don't give up your faith. Don't give up on God. God has faith in you. And God does not give up in us. If he's not giving up on us, let us never give up on him. We wait. We wait in pain sometimes, but we wait. This is the calling of God. And we know that in all things, God works for good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That's God's promise for all of us. So let me conclude today in this short, brief book of Colossians. I know it's not covered everything there is to cover. There's just so much. But he says something to all of us that I hope will bring us some peace this morning, and that we can share it with our loved ones as well. It's a very familiar passage in Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And maybe you can put the emotion into these words as well, of peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. So early this morning, I did something that maybe you've done many, many times, and I recommend it if you've never done it. Set aside some time, some significant time, and just think about who and what you're thankful for. You're thankful for people. You're thankful for this or that or this and that. Paul is saying 2,000 years ago, and it's as relevant today as then, think about being thankful. Think about the people in your life. Think about the world itself. Think about Jesus. Think about the words that we have. Think about the promises that we have, and be thankful. Let the message dwell among you. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms and the hymns and the songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Well, this week I did a daring thing. I put a couple of pictures on Facebook. One picture, when I graduated from Great Lakes in 1971. Yeah, I know, it was a long time ago.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah. Yeah, some of you saw the picture. Yeah, that was a dim reflection of what I used to be like. Anyhow, the picture's received some attention. And interestingly, Don mentioned Dale responded to one of the pictures and said, "My good friend, Randy, he would like to see these this picture. Because you see, the person that I was walking with in that commencement is a woman that he married, Kathy. And I have, for a long time, wanted to be reconnected somehow with her because she was part of the church in Meaford, part of Rhonda's growing up. She was the older kid in the church, the teenager, the person that you looked up to and so forth. And I really liked her as a person too, but you know, it's one of those people that just sort of drift away. But also reminded me about Dale, and Don's right. I mean, he is just a marvelous Christian man. And his parents, Lewis and Nellie, spent their years in retirement here and in this congregation, and so he had association with his parents. And it reminded me of a time when Ron and I went to New York City and on the spur of the moment thought, well, we could get on the train and we'd go to Stamford, Connecticut and go to church. So we rang up Dale and he sent his wife to the train station to meet us. We spent a day with him and his wife. I wish I had more time with him. This conversation was so rich. Well, today, as we look to communion, it's interesting that Jesus was asked upon many times in scriptures, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And on one occasion in Luke chapter 10, he's asked this question, and he kicks it back to the lawyer who asked the question, and he says to the lawyer, well, what's written in the law? And the lawyer says, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And this discourse, the discourse that follows this, identifies who the neighbor is. And Jesus is consistent in his teaching about who the neighbor is. In Matthew chapter 25, he talks about who the neighbor is. The hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, those naked, the people that are in prison. These are your neighbors. Now, I have neighbors on Ontario Street. They don't really fall into these categories, but they're still my neighbors. He also demonstrates this idea of loving your neighbor because he was a person of the people. He didn't just hang around with aristocrats and people in government and people who were important. He hung around with everyday people. He was in their homes. He shared their hospitality. He healed their sick. He had compassion for people who were in difficulty. He spent time with people. He also demonstrated a love for God. He would often go off into the wilderness and pray and spend a lot of time there. So he is God in the flesh, but he is spending time with his Father. At his baptism, what happened? God says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So there was an association there. There was a connection there. There was a love between Jesus and God. So Jesus when he says, well, what does the scripture say? It says, love God and love your neighbor. Jesus is the ultimate example of loving God and loving his neighbor. And guess what, folks? As Don has expressed today, we are Jesus' neighbor. He has reached down and he has given this gift of salvation to us. In the process of being a neighbor to us, he has loved the Father, and he is epitomizing or exemplifying what we need to be about. And certainly in these times, there is difficulty with the pandemic. When you listen, people have difficulties. And the difficulties sometimes come out in complaining and whining, and I wish it was this, and I wish it was, when is it going to be back to normal? A thought occurred to me this week. We need to give our heads a shake. In our circumstances here in Canada, we are living billions of people's dream. We're living billions of people's dream. We need to stop whining about being inconvenienced about a few things. We need to get on with being the people of God, being good to our neighbors, helping those around us. So today, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to use a prayer that's actually a song. I'm going to read a verse from the song, and then I'm going to continue the prayer, and then I'll do the same thing a second time for the fruit of the vine. The song, or the poem, is called Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. I want you to listen for the words in this prayer that Don identified in his sermon today. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy to every longing heart. Our Father, as we partake of this loaf that reminds us of your Son Jesus, we're reminded of how he came to this world. He humbled himself to be your ambassador to us, to give us life in him. We're thankful, Father, for this hope that we have in him, and we pray, Father, with thankful hearts that we will receive this hope and that filled with joy we might live our lives to be loving to you and loving to our neighbors. We pray in Christ. Amen. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now the gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for Jesus Christ because he has saved us. He has made it possible that we can know you and that we can know what your will is for us. And in terms of how we live and what we think and how we behave. But more than that, that we know that we'll be raised with you eternally. That this blood that flowed saves us from our sins and presents us to you as your children. We're thankful for this sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you all for being here, and thank you for those of you who are at home listening, and thank you, Dawn, for your great sermon. When I saw, when I saw Daniel come in this morning, my heart just skipped a beat. It was like, oh, I haven't seen Daniel for a year. It's just so exciting, and I kept thinking through Dawn's sermon that just like our sin keeps us somewhat separated from God, even though we're still one, it's kind of the way COVID keeps us separated from each other. And some of us are longing to hug each other today, and some of us are longing to be here today that are listening online. And some of us are separated by geography. And one day, we will be able to be one in the arms of God and one in the arms of each other, and we won't be separated any longer. Let us pray together. God, thank you so much for the time that we've had here to worship you and to be uplifted by our time of worship. And God, as we go forth this week, we give ourselves to you. We give you our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our attitudes, and our bodies to use as you will. Please give us opportunities to serve the hungry, whether they're hungry spiritually, emotionally, or physically. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.